Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo, come on. have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDeLulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Angelo. With me, as always, is Alex. Alex, buddy. When are you going to start renewing
moves? What's going on, guys? What's going on, Angelo? Yeah, we actually need to start doing that. Have I renewed the Dynasty Nas League? I have not renewed that. No, I have renewed that one. You're trying to trick me, man. I've renewed every single one on my side, I think. So the Star Wars League, the Dynasty Nas, and the 32 team league. The one thing that I have not done is activity checks, which I need to. And I don't think I've ever sent one out. I have not. So, as we're talking about this, just so I don't forget.
Did we ever replace Ollie? Yet.
And the draft is next week, and we usually start drafting as soon as the NFL draft is over. So, we might be a bit late on the process.
I'm such a good coconut.
Time for the activity check.
Listen. We talked for what felt like half an hour about how shitty the news cycle is this week. The most interesting thing I think we could talk about is Bill Belichick. If you want to talk about Bill Belichick right now, we could talk about Bill Belichick. But right now, I just want to have fucking fun, dude. So give me... You talked about previously that learning your league mates is very important, right? What is the stupidest offhand comment someone has made to you in a DM that you used later in a trade to get a trade done? Just the absolute stupidest thing that you were like, oh, I'm gonna take a mental note of this, and then you used it later.
I didn't expect that one. For sure.
I hit you right with the changeup right from the start.
Boom. I think the most general one is when I hear about someone interested in X player from Y owner, and when I acquire said player from Y owner, I immediately go and try and trade him with one of my league mates, because that gives me the idea of what he values said player for versus what I can acquire said player. Now, I remember an instance in which I did that and it worked. I basically flipped the guy for more than I got him for. But I also remember another instance in which it backfired, because it was like, if I were to acquire player X or something along the lines of, yeah, I have no interest in your guys. I'm looking at guys like XYZ. I would pay maybe a first for XYZ. And then I go, okay, so then I go and acquire X, Y, or Z for a second round pick. And then I go and offer him in a trade that basically gets me a first and change. And the guy's like, okay, so in that, and it was a bigger deal. It was just not like trading for one guy. I got that guy in a bigger deal. Then I go and offer player, let's call him Mike Evans. It was not Mike Evans, but so let's say I got Mike Evans for a second round value in a big trade. And then I go to the previous owner and I say, okay, now I have Mike Evans. So can we work a trade for that first? And he says, you kind of got him for much cheaper than that, which sort of implies that the league doesn't like him that much. So now I'm only offering this. And I'm like, well, fuck. And it's like, I understand that sentiment, but at the same time, it's like, maybe if I was on the other end, I wouldn't like it that much. But it's still like...
Yeah, Alex. Yeah, but it's real fast.
It's also like you can acquire a player for less than what it's usually worth, just because an owner doesn't really value him at a price that you value him, doesn't really mean that you should change your evaluation. Right. That one is fair. If you get what I mean, it's just like maybe you're butthurt that you didn't get the guy for cheaper, but maybe you should have just asked him about it. If you're that poor, if you really wanted the guy and you were that willing to offer the pick to start, maybe you should have made that offer, not just sitting on your ends waiting for other people to make the move. But yeah, that one backfired on me, and I think eventually I ended up making the trade, but I got less than what I wanted at the start. So do you have any example of that, or are you just letting me see?
No, I don't really have an example of that, but I just think of all the chats I've been in with Justin where, like, the trade took way longer than it should have, or I just, like, got frustrated and just walked out of the deal because he's like, I might like this, but I don't know.
Trading with Justin is the absolute worst experience ever, man.
Dude, I don't even know how to describe it.
It's just infuriating because sometimes you're even willing to, in your evaluation, you're willing to overpay for what you want to get from him, and he's still like so stingy with everything. It's almost like you're making a deal, trying to pull it with irons or something like that, and it's so tough at times.
I really do feel like that sometimes. I think that, so at the place I used to work for, we had, because I used to work in sales, we had a saying called, what was the phrase called exactly? I'm drawing a blank now. It was something about, like, taking too long to evaluate something and then losing out on the deal because you took too long to evaluate it. I forget what the exact phrase was, but it was just perfect. Like,
and now it's drawing blanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. The audience will never get the perfect sentence.
They will never get the exactly. They will never get the perfect sentence.
But yeah, it's just, that's why I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I have only
procrastination by evaluation.
So the audience will get to...
procrastination by evaluation. Let's go. But yeah, so basically, like, I'm not saying take every deal that's in front of you and just go. But like, there comes a point in negotiations where you know if you really want the players you're getting or not. And sometimes, like, it doesn't matter if you think you're losing the deal. It doesn't matter if Keep Trade Cut says you're losing. It doesn't matter if the player profile or the Dynasty Dominator app says you're losing it. Sometimes, if you just have faith in these players, you just need to pull that trigger, and the results are fall where the results fall. If you're right about your evaluation and these players hit, then you will be happy with the deal regardless. If not, then you won't. But I don't think, I don't know. I'm not someone of the school of thought who normally is willing to delay a deal because a second round pick is involved.
Well, a second is still somewhat high.
Stop.
But I think part of it, sometimes he might like the deal, but sometimes it's pride on his side, I feel like. It's just...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's way too prideful at times in terms of, like, making the trade.
He's... Well, no, no, I don't think it's pride. I think it's he's newer to Dynasty, and he doesn't want to feel like he got bamboozled.
The Fine knew, though.
So he'll wait till you overpay,
The Fine knew, though.
This league was his first Dynasty league.
I think he came in, like, what, two seasons after we started? After we both joined in?
No, it was way more than two seasons.
I mean, he has been... Oh, my God.
Two seasons was 2019. He joined it like 2021.
I was so close. No, in Dynasty Nas. In Sleeper. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Almost. I wanted to check previous league, and I clicked on delete league. I'm just thankful they have the Are You Sure button in there.
The Are You Sure button.
Otherwise, it would be bye-bye. So he has been in the entirety of Sleeper. So he has been playing since at least 2021. So now let's look at Dynasty Nas in the Flea Flicker.
I think he's in that. But he came in at the tail end of that. Yeah.
Let me double check. And this way we can be sure of how long Justin has played in Dynasty Leagues. Where is our league? Have they deleted our league? No, our league is still here. Okay, perfect. So he was in it in... So let me check. What was his Flea Flicker username? I think it was I Lose a Lot, right? Yeah, okay. So he was in it in 2020. And he was in it in 2019. That's when he joined.
It's not that long.
Time flies, man. Yeah, he joined in. Now, maybe he joined in later, but I have no... Okay, so in activity, it should show. In activities, if we go to the last one...
And I will say something that works, because it worked with me. Like... So, let me preface this by saying this is an absolute shitty thing to do. And I think you do it sometime unintentionally, and Austin definitely did it to me intentionally. But it's when you keep asking about a particular asset, and even when the person that you're talking to like says, I don't think there's anything on your team that I like enough to give up this asset, and you still keep asking about it every single day, eventually that works.
Does it work? Okay, so I need to do eventually that more, that works. I guess.
Uh-huh, yeah. Eventually that works, yeah. Austin asked about... It felt like every day for, like, a year. And finally last year, I was just like, you know what, fuck it. And I just moved the pick.
Oh, his pick, right. Oh, your pick. It was your pick. Okay.
Yeah, his pick back to him. Yeah, okay. No, his pick back to him.
Yeah, sometimes I do that. And I'm just a bit annoying in doing so.
It's so fucking annoying, dude. And this is why people don't complain about me in trade negotiations.
Sometimes I'm insistent. Most of the times I don't get answers, though. So I don't know. If you're not answering, I'm not so sure what happens. That's why I'm not getting answers.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, he has been playing since 2019. He played the full season in 2019.
That's crazy. Okay, so what else? What other tips can you give people? Give me something, Alex.
Say, how do you build a dynasty? You need to be way more active than I have been right now. This year, I've been really lacking in terms of trades and paying attention to my team in both the Dynasty Nas and the 32 team league. This year, I just doesn't feel like I have the same amount of time, and I guess part of it is this podcast is taking me a bit of time. It's just like my career and my actual work, just having different sort of responsibilities and things that I have to do now just sort of drains me a lot of time as well. Getting a Switch might be an issue for this as well, because
you got a Nintendo Switch
since Christmas. I've got it, and it's just, it draws me a lot of time away from this as well, more than I wanted. So yeah, I think just overall there's a lot of things going against me here that have prevented me from being as active as I would have liked managing my teams, and that might put me behind in a few leagues in which my big hedge was just being always the guy that was making deals around this time. And right now, I don't think I've made a deal yet in any league, so I'm kind of falling behind, and I need to do that, especially before drafts happen. I mean,
if you're really falling,
things could probably change for a few of these guys.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean,
yeah, and like you could wake up one day and you have both running backs for the Tennessee Titans. That
I wonder
happen
who
day.
That happened to.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, I'm gonna transition this to something. I can't believe I'm about to fucking say this, bro. I might start acquiring Titans.
Yeah.
Titans. Tennessee players from the Tennessee Titans organization.
Why don't you like life? It would be my question.
I think that's gonna be a sneaky offense this year. I really do. Like, I love the fact that they just said, okay, fuck it. We have no wide receivers, and they just went out and spent a bunch of them, and there's still rumored to draft a fucking wide receiver. Like, I am not going to lie. In every league I've been in, I've low-key sent a message to the Will Levis owner if the Will Levis owner isn't me. I'm not going to lie.
You really like to be disappointed. I see. I don't know. I cannot really get behind the idea.
You can't get behind me on the Titans bandwagon.
No.
Alex is going to leave the station. He's going to leave the station.
No.
You
got to
get on.
I'm totally fine if that train leaves and I stay in land.
Mayo man, he's on the way.
I'll pass. Again, I'll definitely pass. But maybe there's guys that you can like, I'm not totally against acquiring guys for that team. It's just like acquiring the whole offense seems kind of weird. If I would have to get one guy, and for the price as well, I would look at the tight end that they have. Yeah.
They have a tight end?
Okay, so you had no idea they had a tight end. What's the name of that guy? Let me double check here real quick.
I'm not saying that name.
Yeah.
I just looked up their depth chart. I am not saying that name, good sir.
So I would probably be inclined to buy him. I know he was started as a pretty solid option last year.
Now I'm looking at their depth chart on Sleeper. Is it really just DeAndre Hopkins and Treylon Burks as their 1 and 2? Did they sign someone else? Yes. Calvin Ridley. You are right. Never mind. You are right. Yeah. So they have D-Hop, Burks, and
Ridley.
Did
you see the comment that Tennessee's GM had regarding Treylon Burks? I'll look it up here so I don't paraphrase it just so we have the exact quote.
Yep. Absolutely.
Okay, so I think it is here. Yeah. So he said, this is GM Rand Carlton, and the quote was, where was it? No, this is... Okay. At the NFL Combine last week, Titans general manager Rand Carlton and head coach Brian Callahan were both asked about Burks. The injury thing and the concussion thing was a real deal, Carlton said of Burks. I think we all saw from the Pittsburgh game. Those are the kind of things you can't really prevent. But I do know Treylon is off this offseason, training with Diop and some of the other pros in the league, which I think will be good for him to see how other pros prepare and get ready for the season. So saying low-key that he might not be prepared for last season, so he can add that to his game. I've seen a couple clips of him running routes and doing stuff in the off-season, and for him, it's an off-season where he's not trying to get healthy. He can work on perfecting his craft as opposed to trying to get back to healthy. About his potential, I do like some of the traits that Treylon has shown on tape. There's some things that I'm excited to work with. And then he's got to do his part when it comes down to taking care of yourself, making sure he's ready to roll with when we start. But Treylon is a talented player and one that got some development to go. I'm excited about what Treylon could bring to us once he comes in the building. And then it was something along the lines of, this seems like the most... He's a player that plays for our team, type of quote. I swear. no, I think that was basically it. It's just, man, I don't know. This doesn't seem like the biggest endorsement that a coach is really, or a coach or GM is really that into you at this point in time. It just seems like you're a player that plays for the team. That you once had promised and you kind of not done jack shit with it.
Wait, when did the Falcons get Rondell Moore?
Oh, a while
Moore?
Ago. They traded him from Arizona.
Let's go!
I like how you had...
Rondell Moore's still alive, baby!
Yes. Isn't he like the third wide receiver on the depth chart, the fourth on the receiving chart.
Shut up,
general.
Shut up. Shut up.
Okay. I believe he was traded for what? He was traded for Desmond Ridder. Straight up. Yeah. So great, huh?
Let's go. Look, they gave a quarterback. They gave their starting quarterback last year up for this guy.
Yeah, the starting QB that they replaced during the season twice. Things are looking up for Rondell Moore. Milhouse couldn't be prouder. But yeah, if anything, regarding the Titans, I'd probably buy Chig Okonkwo. I think he disappointed a lot of people last season. He was being drafted as the sneaky guy who could be a tight end one. It is a point that he had just 77 targets, 54 catches, roughly 500 yards and a touchdown, which was good for, I think it was right around tight end 20-ish. We all know that like after the top 10, the tight ends don't really matter that much. He was just one of the guys. And he didn't improve that much from his rookie season. I mean, in his rookie season, he had roughly half, not half, but a bit above half of the catches. And he only got 78 less yards. And he had one more touchdown. So he was more involved, but it didn't translate that well.
I may have offered for every Titans player while we were recording.
Unfortunately, I do not have a Titans player, which is sad.
Unfortunately, Yeah, unfortunately, okay. You don't, dude.
So now I'm going to get a Titans player for a certain price and then trade it for you for more. Okay.
There you go. Tis the way of life. Tis the way of life, you know?
But yeah, I'm surprised you like Titans so much. But it is what it is. Okay. Other than that.
So who do you like this year? Obviously, I have the Titans, and that's, you know, unreasonably reasonable. Who do you have? Like, I have no reason to have faith, but I have faith.
When you put it like that, no reason to have faith, but I have faith.
But I have faith.
Mm. There's one answer that popped to mind, but I'm not so sure if there's no reason to have faith.
Do you have faith?
I'm actually looking at every single one of these teams. And it comes down to probably two. I would say either Chicago. It's the ultimate turn. They move off Justin Fields, and now I like Chicago. What figures?
They moved off Justin Fields, and now I don't have to.
My mission is done. I can rest. Or, this is probably even more shocking, the Carolina Panthers.
Give me the logic on that. Why do you have faith on
Why
the
do
Panthers?
I have faith on the Panthers? Okay. So, now, this is assuming that they do something at wide receiver, because their wide receiver right now are still pretty shitty, outside of Deontay Johnson, and that's it, and an old Adam Thielen. That's probably it.
Yes.
No, they added Deontay Johnson. That's the only guy that they did have.
Oh, yeah.
So, assuming they get another weapon, I sort of like Dave Canales' offense last season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought it did a whole lot of lemonade without a lot of lemons. I didn't really expect the bounce back.
A whole lot of lemonade without a lot of lemons.
Yeah, I didn't really expect a Baker Mayfield-led offense to look as good as it did. And I think a good chunk of the reason was Dave Canales being DOC for that. And I think he can do a whole lot of that with Bryce Young. Let's not forget that Bryce Young, going into last year's draft, was pretty much the consensus, like, best QB in the draft. And it came to a point in which it was like he would have been a generational talent. As long that word gets thrown out a lot. But there were there were talks of that. If he was just a few inches higher. So I think the talent is definitely there with Bryce Young. Now, we've talked about Bryce Young before. He showed flashes to end the season. That's all I wanted to see last year. And I was worried for a good chunk of the seasons that I wasn't really seeing any sort of flashes. It just felt very vanilla. Most of the time, wasn't really giving me anything, and now I'm.
He looked like he sucked.
Yes, that is the best way to put it for sure. And I think, I don't know, maybe there's something here that people are sort of brushing as, I don't know, a pretty shitty team, when maybe they're not that bad. Like, I know they were the worst team in the league by a good mile last season. But I think this O-line getting healthier, I think adding Deontay Johnson, I think adding another receiving weapon in the draft. They only have a second round pick, sure. But this wide receiver class is pretty deep. And Bryce Young coming back to the level that he showed us at Alabama. I think we have something here. And I think they are a sneaky team at this point. So I have, again, you asked me for the team or the offense that I have some faith in, that I should have no faith in. I mean, there is no other team that has given you as little reason to believe in them as the Carolina Panthers. So I think I hit the nail right in the head. Yeah.
They suck.
Yeah, but I'm cautiously optimistic. No, I should not be.
No,
okay.
You should not be.
I'm in danger.
You are in danger.
Oh, but yeah. Dude, it's the Panthers.
The fucking Panthers? You couldn't have gone with anyone worse.
But I feel like the Panthers.
Panthers got the 101 for the Bears.
I mean, it's so, bold. Let's put it that way. It's very bold. But it is what I have for you right now. So maybe in, I don't know, 6 months, I look like an absolute genius. Who knows?
Yeah, I know
that I won't look like a genius. Yeah, let's not forget that last season, we also thought that the NFC South was pretty open. And although now it looks like the Buccaneers showed us something last season, the Falcons added Kirk Cousins, the Saints are still the Saints, doing a lot of Saints things. Although that has all happened, I don't know, I still think it's slightly open.
Okay. Let's do the opposite. Who is the team that you should have a lot of faith in that you're very, very, very cautious of?
Because I got a bad one.
I got my hater right out.
So I'm looking at a few teams here. Okay, so you're hater at. I know.
I'm gonna give you mine.
My
haterade is the Baltimore
definitely
Ravens.
That's the Ravens. My I was looking at the team's icons and I was like, he has the Raiders. He has the Ravens, yeah. That makes sense. But educate us, Angelo. Why the Ravens?
So listen, I will forever say that the reason the Ravens did as well from start to finish that as they did was because Joe Burrow went down. You cannot convince me in a division where the Browns defense is rolling, where the Bengals are rolling, that the Ravens win 14 fucking games and get the damn one seed. And not only did they get the one seed, they got the one seed to lose to Patrick Mahomes like I said they would. I'm telling you. I don't care how good people think this roster, and I'll give them their flowers. They had a great fucking game plan to do what the Browns couldn't and stop CJ Stroud. But party's over, fam. Joe Burrow's back. The Browns should be fine, even if Deshaun goes down for the umpteenth time for them. And the Steelers seem to win 9 games every year somehow with voodoo magic. I don't even know how the Steelers win 9 games at this point.
I just want to point out that they split with the Browns as is. So it seems a bit far-fetched that the reason as to why the Ravens will decline is because they
have a division-winning schedule now, not a third-place
team
schedule.
I can see them struggling a bit. I feel like a fall from grace could be tough. But I could see a small downgrade. I'll give you one better, though.
They'll be closer to 500 than they will to 12 wins. I'm telling you that right now.
I'll give you one better. The one team that I think people want to adjust to. And I think they might have somewhat of a fall from grace. The Philadelphia Eagles.
Don't say it. God damn it.
I'm sorry, Eagle fans. I'm sorry, Philadelphia fans.
You got your haterade out for
I us. Feel like the Jason Kelce retirement is going to be more impactful than what fans want to think. And I think him retiring really puts a dent on most things Philadelphia did on offense. I think it puts a dent on the timing. I think it puts a dent to the what do you call it? The friendly tush push, the friendly city tush push, whatever you want to call it, the tush push. Let's just put it that way. It puts a dent on the all offense overall, puts a dent on the running game as well. And I think they will struggle somewhat. I don't really think they addressed the needs that they had on defense all that much. They did a nice trade with the Jets in which they basically signed Bryce Huff as a free agency and then traded the Jets Hassan Reddick for a second. So they didn't get the best player, but they got the best bang for their buck, edge rusher. And they got a second round pick on top of it. That's all nice and dandy. I still think the offense, I mean, they added Devonta Smith. They re-signed Devonta Smith. But, I mean, they didn't really let their head coach go, which was a big issue in my eyes last season. And now they're sort of like the defense didn't really get that big of an overhaul. They added C.J. Gardner-Johnson, sure, but that still doesn't seem like enough. Now, maybe in the draft they surprised me somewhat, but I think...
Oh, their front seven, they have one of the best front sevens in the NFL last year, and they retained basically all of them.
How did the front seven help them actually keep the games close? Can you tell me? Because I'm pretty sure, and I'll just check it for you. I am pretty damn certain that last season I'll look this up for you as we go. They ranked They ranked 32nd in yards allowed, 31st in touchdowns allowed, 25th in interceptions. So that doesn't seem like a team who's using their defense all that well. That they allowed 415 total yards versus the Giants in the last game of the season, for example. They allowed over 400 total yards, and since their bye, they allowed 400 total yards or in over half of the games since their bye. So they had 8 games, if I'm not mistaken, after their bye, yeah. Half of them, they allowed over 400 total yards. So I'm not entirely sure if having that great of a front seven, and it's more of a front four because the linebackers were really weak last season, is that effective right now? It really seems like they're DBs and their linebackers were taking a major hit, and I don't necessarily think they improved all that much. So I still think this defense is sort of beatable. I still don't like the coaching. I still don't think Sirianni is any better of a coach as he was last season. And they lost Jason Kelce, which was their biggest... Okay, I'm going to say it. I think it was their best player. Jason Kelce. Their most important player on offense was Jason Kelce.
You gotta be shitting me, dude. AJ Brown.
Jason Kelce.
Jalen Hurts.
Jason Kelce.
Devontae Smith.
You know why I say Jason
Mike
Kelce?
Johnson.
Because the single most important play that they had in their playbook, the most...
The most effective play
that they had in their playbook, the play that was talked about as a play that should be banned, has now taken a major nerf in the in this entirety.
So what, they're just suddenly not what a top five, top 10 offense? You're just saying they're just going to forget how to play offense overnight because of Jason Kelce?
Okay, let me see what I put them in terms of offense. I think they're a worse offense than San Francisco, Cincinnati. KC. Dallas.
I'll give you a pass.
Miami. Because
of Patrick Mahomes.
Let me finish. Atlanta, I think they're a worse offense than Atlanta right now. They are a worse offense than Detroit. They're a worse offense than Baltimore. They are a worse.
Baltimore.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's 9. So I need one more. Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore will have a better
offense. Fucking Baltimore.
A more effective offense than Philadelphia. And I'll tell you one more. I think they will have a worse offense than the Green Bay Packers. So that's 10 right there. And I'm not even counting teams that can surprise us, like the Buffalo Bills, like the Chicago Bears, like the Indianapolis Colts, the Arizona Cardinals, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the LA Rams, the Houston Texans,
the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So that's another 8 teams, if I'm not mistaken, that I just gave you.
Alex.
Yes.
Alex. How many teams have a better wide receiving core and tight end? You might as well add the tight end group. Then the fucking Eagles! Wide receiver and tight end, complete package. How many teams have a better that than the Eagles? Than A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith.
Is that all
Smith,
that matters, though?
Dallas Goedert.
No, I'm just asking you. Is that all that matters?
Are you fucking kidding me?
It's just what I'm asking you. Because I'm entirely sure.
It goes to a greater point.
No.
It goes to a greater point.
Then answer me this.
How many teams?
Did or did not the Philadelphia Eagles add the better wide receiver and tight end group than the Detroit Lions last season? Okay. Who had the better offense last season? I'm just saying.
This guy.
So, yeah, I mean, put it on the board. We'll talk about it in 6 months. I'll take a note here.
Motherfucker. Your Eagles hate
it's
knows
not
no
an
bounds.
Eight. It's just you asked me for basically a shocking pick for a team. Who had a good offense and people are still high on, that will take a dip. So, Angelo, you gave me...
You called them not a top 10
offense. You gave me Tennessee,
and
you gave me the Baltimore Ravens as your better team, worst team. And I gave you the Carolina Panthers. I won't even put the Chicago Bears here. The Carolina Panthers and the Philadelphia Eagles. So Panthers are on the rise. Eagles are on the downwards trajectory.
I don't know what to say to you.
This show actually went a bit better than I was expecting so far due to the lack of news that we had. Surprisingly.
Do you want to talk about the Bill Belichick shade because you have more
apparently there was a report coming out today that mentioned and I believe the Patriots denied it, but I mean I'm sure that they would deny it, right? I'm not so sure that a team would be willing to say we did all of that. Apparently Bill Belichick was in talks. To take over as the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons. That never came to fruition, and they hired Raheem Morris instead. But apparently the reason for that, or what played a part in that, was that Robert Kraft advised or basically told Arthur Blank that he should not trust Bill Belichick. And apparently, according to Bill Belichick's camp, reports coming out of sources close, let's put it this way, reports coming out of sources close to Bill Belichick believe that that was the reason as to why Bill Belichick didn't get the job with the Falcons. Then another report came out today that he didn't finish even inside of the top three for the Falcons. So I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the top three were Raheem Morris, which eventually became the head coach. Mike McDonald was second, and Bobby Slowick was third for the three finalists for the head coach job for the Falcons. So, and Bill Belichick didn't finish in any team's top three for head coach candidates. So we're talking about he didn't finish top three for the Tennessee Titans, the Atlanta Falcons, the Seattle Seahawks. Who else had head coach openings? Already said the Atlanta Falcons. Who else had openings? Let's look. Didn't finish inside of the top three for the Carolina Panthers job. Didn't finish inside of the top three for the Chargers job. Washington Commanders job.
The point Alex is trying to make is that Robert Kraft, or at least he's hinting at Robert Kraft, basically sandbagged Bill Belichick's chances of finding like another head coach.
Because this is just in regards to Arthur Blank. But I mean, if he can do that with Arthur Blank, wouldn't be shocked if he was open to doing that with other teams. And I mean, there was a documentary coming out that came out that was called Dynasty, if I'm not mistaken. That came out, when was it? I believe it was a few weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. And it came out, yeah, it was Dynasty, the New England Patriots, which came out, help me out, I'm the IMDb. It came out on February, yeah, so a couple months ago. And, I mean, and this documentary, I haven't watched it yet, but it looks like Kraft was really bad-mouthing Bill Belichick or diminishing Bill Belichick's role in basically just flipping his whole team around. I mean, you can put whatever part of the, I don't know, of the credit for turning this puppy around in between Belichick or Brady. But at the end of the day, I mean, if they didn't have both, I don't really think the franchise would be turned around. And Kraft, yeah, and no Kraft way. Is yeah. sort of like pushing Bill to the side. I mean, for the instance, when they talked about Brady leaving, he said something along the lines of Bill Belichick didn't want Tom Brady, he felt threatened by Tom Brady, and that's why he wanted him out. So putting all of the blame that Brady was out of New England and basically just ruined New England's franchise for the foreseeable future, all on Bill Belichick. Which, I mean, it could be true, but it's still like you're still throwing the guy that was partly to blame for turning your franchise around under the bus. That doesn't necessarily seem right. And people are sort of, it seems at least, yeah. A bit against Kraft here.
It's just quite a shame that this is how the... this is the how the
dynasty ended.
Bill Belichick yeah. tenure. Yeah.
But oh well. It is what it is. That's the news and what we have in regards to the Patriots. The only other pieces of news mm-hmm. that was probably worth talking about was the Rashee Rice incident that we addressed, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. I believe the last thing that I said in that matter was that I wasn't panicking yet, but that this would change fairly quickly and that people should be like in touch with this situation if they own Rashee Rice. Well, maybe you should be a bit worried. I don't know, just a tad bit. because this doesn't seem like nothing right now. This very much feels like maybe, just maybe, there could be something here that really hinders Rishi Rice. Now, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as I've heard and seen so far, it does not appear as if he has killed anyone. So he has not killed anyone. There was nothing that proves that he was drunk at the time. Because, I mean, way too much time has passed for a blood alcohol test. So he didn't kill anyone. He wasn't drunk while driving, at least to our knowledge. And he really didn't do anything that the NFL, that would damage the NFL brand that much. So by all of that, and following NFL's punishment rationale, he probably doesn't get more than, I don't know, 5-6 game stops. But maybe he could face jail time. I don't think that's necessarily outside of the table right now. I think he's facing a $10 million lawsuit for the guys that he hurt while doing that stunt on the highway. But I believe he has 8 charges against him, which include aggravated assault.
So not looking good for Rasheen Rice or the people that were involved in that.
But it's matter. I'm not entirely certain if this is like end of the road type of stuff. I wouldn't really say so at this point in time. Yeah, what we know right now is that he has 8 charges going against him, which include aggravated assault and collision with, I don't know, bodily harm or something like that. Those are sort of the big ones. I heard that could be another one coming in that wasn't yet. That is very, I don't know, how do you put it? Back in your country, you guys have a bunch of counties, a bunch of laws for each county, a bunch of laws for each state, something along those lines. So for Texas State, there is one charge in particular that could come and affect this outcome a bit. But it's still a lot of, like, people are projecting here. And as we know right now, there's a bit more of a risk for a suspension and all of that than there was when you last talked about this. But I still wouldn't sell him for peanuts or sell him at all, because at this point in time, I think he's on track for a 6-game suspension, probably. I don't think it's anything like super long term. So I would still hold Rishi Rice. I do think, though, one thing to consider, I do think this somewhat propels the Chiefs on drafting a wide receiver they want in the draft. They
go ahead. Wait, you think that?
No, I think that this propels the Chiefs to draft a wide receiver in day one of the draft. If he's going to miss time, the wide receiver core was shallow as is. Sure, they had a
guy more again.
I think that ship has sailed. They did have Hollywood Brown, though, but I still think that's probably a bit short. In Peter Schrager's last mock draft, he did give him a wide receiver, and I mentioned Schrager in specific because Schrager is usually a guy that people should follow, people with interest in the NFL draft should follow. He's usually very plugged with NFL GMs, and usually releases his mock draft fairly late. I mean, he released it, I think it was, what, 2 days ago? No, yesterday. He released it yesterday. This is mock draft 1.0. So he's releasing it like a week prior to the draft. And, for example, here he's giving a wide receiver to the Chiefs. Now, he's just going off the base that Rashee Rice could be out for a while and they go wide receiver? Sure. Could it be that he has heard from other GMs or from even Kansas City themselves that they're looking deep into wide receiver? Sure. I think the selection is what's shocking here because he's giving him Jalen Polk as the wide receiver ahead of guys like Troy Franklin, for example, which is kind of surprising, but still. He's giving them the wide receiver, so maybe there's some smoke in there.
Maybe we'll see. Kansas City has just seemed to strike out with everything but Rashee Rice.
That is true.
Their draft picks, so, or at least for wide receivers.
Maybe they just go back to the wealth over and over again. See if it pays out.
It'll pace out. It'll pace out. It'll fix itself eventually. I hope. Or Patrick Mahomes will be sad. And Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that's the big thing. When he retires eventually, that might be an issue. But as of right now, they're probably still okay. But I wouldn't be surprised if they address wide receivers still. Just having the uncertainty and all of that, I think it could be an issue. Okay. So, what else do we have left? That's it?
I think that's it. You said you wanted to keep the show short. The show's about to hit an hour. I think that's about right. Oh, announce the draft thingy, my Bobby. And do the outro. Yeah. What I said, because I'm the boss. I think Alex just went AWOL on me. Gosh darn it, Alex.
Okay, he's back. There Angela's he back. Yeah.
Wait, I left?
I at least I wasn't listening to you. Maybe it was on my end. Okay.
Yeah, maybe. Either way,
do you want to give anyone an announcement? Yeah. Draft. Okay.
Yeah, tell them.
So, go ahead. Next week,
tell the people.
We are we doing the regular show as well? We are probably, right? We are doing the regular show now.
Are we?
Okay.
I need to take a break.
Okay. So no regular show next week. No regular show, so I don't expect anything on Thursday. But we are doing something a bit different. So the draft happens on, that's Thursday, right? That's the 25th of April. So the draft happens on Thursday, and we've discussed, and we are doing something a bit different. We're doing a live episode in the sense of it's not live for you guys, but it's live. We're going to be recording during the NFL draft. So, you can expect us to have, I don't know, a 2 to 3 hour show. That's usually what the first round takes. I'll be going on from 1 a.m. to 3 to 4 a.m. Angelo, a much more regular time, I guess, which is 8 p.m., right? I think that's what we said the draft starts at, 8 p.m. And you won't just be listening to us to talk about the draft. We're going to have guests popping in during the segment. That's what we're hoping it is.
I'm not sure if I'm going to release it Friday or if I'm just going to release it after the draft concludes so that you can just listen to our live reactions just post-draft.
Yes.
But either way,
but we are getting guests in. I've talked with Forensic. He seemed interested in jumping into the show, talking a bit with us. And it will be mostly like a rotating chair of guests. So they will hop in, talk in for a while, talk about the picks, talk about their team, all of that, talk with us for a bit, Then they jump out, then they can jump in back when they want to, if they want to. We maybe can have Corey in for a segment as well. We'll be adding in guests. I won't reveal every single one of those names because this is going to be live. It's going to be unpredictable. The draft is unpredictable, folks. And you can hear our reactions live for when the picks come in, the shock, the I told you so's, all of that. So no show on Thursday, but you will be listening to, at least on the regular time on Thursday. It might come out later on Thursday. It might come out on Friday. But it's going to be a different show. It's going to be a special show. So stay tuned, guys. And do you have anything else to add? Did I miss anything, Angelo?
Oh, you didn't. You did a great job,
Angelo.
Alex. You're so good.
I'm so proud of that, Angelo. Okay. So as Angelo used to say, there's a fancy nice little donate button that you can click to help us out. If you're listening on the Spotify app, if you're listening on the Apple Podcasts app, just leave us a five-star review, just subscribe, turn on the auto-downloads. That's the most important thing out of all of it. We are getting amazing feedback from you guys in terms of listeners so far. We are doing pretty well right now. So it's good that you guys are enjoying listening to us yap about this. And if you're listening on the YouTube, just do all the regular things that you used to do. I keep plugging this, but I'm pretty certain that the YouTube videos haven't come out for a while. Have they, Angelo?
Yeah.
Okay, if you're listening on the YouTube, just do all of the things that you usually do that every YouTuber have asked of you for the last 10 years. Just go ahead and do all of that. And as always, guys, talk to you next week at a different time.
I hate to break it to you, Alex, but YouTube is closer to 20 years.